Welcome back here on Can't Wait for our third and final installment of the 2015 NBA Draft Extravaganza. The number 11 pick, the Indiana Pacers. We have Rusty Boulay-Stevenson making this pick for them. Rusty, you're on the clock. Go.
Well, I'm a Hoosier, and so I love getting to pick this. Is perfect for me. I loved the picks I got, in fact. I had the Lakers, Magic, Pistons, Pacers. I love that. This is a team that doesn't really belong in the lottery for the most part. I mean, they do because they lost George last year, and so obviously it makes sense that they're there. They didn't win enough to be out of the lottery, but they're good enough that they could have been a sixth seed in the East pretty easily.
Yeah. And done some damage.
And done some damage, yeah. Oh, you'd be afraid to play them, right?
Totally.
You'd be afraid to play them.
Let's say they got in as the sixth. They would have beaten Toronto. They would have beaten...
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have beaten Washington because, you know, John Wall and everything that they had going on. But they could have won a series against one of those Eastern Conference teams.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
So they're adding a real guy.
We're adding a real guy, yeah. It's a really tough pick for me. For one, Roy Hibbert is a possible free agent, right? He's got a player option.
Yeah. And there's tension there.
Yeah.
There's been regression, and there's been rumors and whispers of unhappiness on both sides.
On both sides. I mean, he's kind of, 2 years ago, kind of fell apart, and you wondered what was happening with him. When they had a real chance at doing something special, he disappeared. And so I don't know that the Pacers want to keep him around. At the same time, if I were doing it, I'd probably try to keep him around. He's a really good defensive player.
Regardless of the ebbs and flows of his offensive game, he is still an anchor defensively.
Yeah, he's an anchor defensively, and you don't really need a whole lot of offense with this team.
Yeah.
David West isn't getting any younger, and so I start looking at a backup power forward. As far as that goes, backup point guard wouldn't be the worst thing. So there are a couple players that I'm definitely looking at. Cameron Payne I'm looking at. Miles Turner as a center to possibly replace Hibbert.
And he can even play with Hibbert because of his shooting ability.
No, that's right. Because of his shooting ability, he could. He's the stretch guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think Bobby Portis out of Arkansas is a really interesting pick here, too.
I love Bobby Portis.
Develop. Yeah, no, he's...
I love Bobby Portis.
He's way great, and I like the way he plays. I like his style of play. He would totally fit in Indiana. The Hoosiers would love that man.
I think he is undervalued on the majority of draft boards.
I think he is.
I would rather have Bobby Portis than Trey Lyles, for example.
Yeah.
Other people are crazy for Trey Lyles, but you know, there's a glut of these guys right now. So it depends on who you like, who you project, and who fits you. So who do you think fits the Pacers here?
Well, ultimately, as much as I want to draft Bobby Portis, I do think Miles Turner makes too much sense to pass
the
up.
The upside
in this slot.
Is too much.
Exactly. It's too much. He can fill in. You can bring him off the bench, and he's going to be a really great coming off the bench player if you keep Hibbert. I love it. I love it for him, and he can develop into somebody who's going to be one of your mainstays for 10 years.
He came to Texas with the LaMarcus Aldridge tag. That's what those fans expected. Why he dropped is because he runs weird. We've seen it. His hips are slightly out of alignment. There's kind of a weird gait. But if that's fixed, if he's actually taken the steps to improve his running stride, because that's the thing you get nervous about with these 7-footers that move strange. You think that there's going to be these chronic back, leg, lower extremity injuries. His shooting ability is phenomenal. He is an excellent shooter. He can handle it. He's got good basketball IQ, and he's a two-way player. He can also protect the rim a little bit for you. So there is the possibility of this poor man's LaMarcus Aldridge, this Bosch-esque stretch between both spots. And if everything checks out medically, this is a top five prospect who just slid to number 11.
Who just slid to number 11 to a playoff team.
Yes.
And he's going to come off the bench and be a really great asset for a couple years coming off the bench until you can put him in, plug him into as a starter.
Love the pick.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's just where we go. I'm excited for the Pacers. I'm excited for the Pacers' future, and it makes a lot of sense for them.
All right. So we are now at number 12, the Utah Jazz, who I think might have the best 5-year plan of any of these teams. I love the core. So at number 12, you can make a real this team can make a real dent in the West.
Yeah, and you know the luxury that they have is that they basically have their 5-man starting lineup locked in of young, you know, guys who are all under 24 years old.
They've done such a great job getting these guys on the same development track.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just a tremendous, really a bonus more than anything else, an unexpected bonus, I think, to be able to get so much out of Rudy Gobert at this point in his development cycle.
Rudy Gobert is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
What he has done for them defensively, identity-wise, it has transformed the organization.
And in the way that, you know, we were talking about Roy Hibbert, but when Roy Hibbert was at his peak in Indiana, it was the same impact where he was their defensive scheme. And he was, one guy who changed the way that other teams had to play. I mean, in those Heat Pacers series, it was always a running narrative that, you know, LeBron would not go into the paint against Hibbert, that he could not finish through him. He couldn't pull out the floater.
Yep.
He just could not figure him out. And Gobert, you know, it's an even more extreme version of that because he's more suited to the modern game. He's more mobile. His arms are even longer.
He can run the floor.
Yep.
You can play an up-tempo game, which is what Quinn Snyder wants to do.
Yep.
They want to pace and space. They want to shoot threes. Rudy Gobert is already an excellent dive man on the pick and roll. He's already an offensive asset. His free throw shooting is meh, but he brings so many positives, and he's so far ahead of where he should be. And for him to turn into what he's turned into has completely altered the destiny of what these guys can be. It's elevated Gordon Hayward's status.
Yep.
Derek Favors projects better now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even see this future where Dante Exum is. I mean, this could be an incredible defensive team.
Yeah, and Exum is the X factor in a lot of ways because we still, you know, you saw some flashes last year, but he's a ways away still. But if he can turn into even 80% of what his upside is, then, you know, he fits in really nicely with what they want to do in terms of his length.
He is so fast.
Yeah.
He is. He can already get into the lane. He doesn't know what he do when he gets there right now.
Right.
But the fact that he can already get around an NBA defender at this age, and the jump that he had to make in competition, playing nobodies in Australia, to not really being that scared of NBA competition. His jumper's better than they thought it was going to be, and he already is a positive contributor defensively, which is where all these young guards seem to really struggle.
Yeah.
So I think he's even further ahead than they want. They had expectations for this guy 3-4 years down the road.
Sure, sure.
But he's ahead of where they thought he would be right now.
Yeah. So in light of all that we've talked about.
I'm so excited about the Jazz.
Yeah, no, so they've got a lot, you know, they've got their young core of five guys. And that means that they have the luxury of not having to draft for need, but being able to draft for whether you want to call it upside or just bringing in, you know, a unique look to their roster that they're missing. They can do that. And I think that, you know, if you look at the way that the board has developed for us and you look at, you know, some of the mocks and all that, that you'd see a lot of action for Trey Lyles here because he's perceived as being, of the remaining guys, he's probably the best on the board right now in terms of the projection, you know, the consensus. I know that you've got Portis over him, but
there's something to say about Lyles and the fact that they made him play three on that weird roster.
Right.
So now he's already kind of comfortable in space in a way that he wouldn't have been.
Right, and in the same way that there were some years where the Jazz would have Paul Millsap play the three in certain lineups. So, you know, there's some comfort level there.
I'll tell you why I'm down on Trey Lyles, though.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's because he projects as this stretch four, right? We all have in our mind that he's this incredible shooter. He was among the worst catch-and-shoot players in college basketball last year.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't think people realize just how much of a struggle it was for him to hit open jumpers last year.
Yeah.
And that might have been due to the fact that Kentucky just had the weirdest roster.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're expected to hit jumpers, I mean, at some point it's about putting the ball in the hole.
Sure.
And he just didn't do it at a level that I was expecting him to.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good point. My concern, though, about Lyles here, it's more about looking at our long-term development trajectory.
Totally.
Because I think the guy that you take now, you're assuming you're hoping this could be your last lottery pick for a while. You know, you want to be contending for that 8 seed next year. So you want to find someone who can fit in as part of your long-term core. You don't need a starter. You need somebody who can come in off the bench and contribute. And that's why I think that I'm going for our first reach of the draft, first questionable reach. And that is, I think that Rondé would be a great, great fit here for a few reasons. The first is that I like Gordon Hayward a lot, and I actually think he's a little bit of an underrated defender. But there's not a perimeter lockdown guy on this roster right now. And as you're looking at developing,
Exum projects as one, but he's still thin.
He's thin, and you know Exum is he's going to be able to lock down guards.
Yeah,
but you don't want to slot him up on
you
a,
don't have
on
that
a small
Kawhi
forward.
Leonard.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Rondé though, like we were talking about with Willie Cauley-Stein, I mean you can already. Pretty much right away, you can slot him in as being someone who's going to be a plus defender with the potential to be, you know, an elite defender.
Two guys are being drafted for their defense.
And, yep, those are the two. Those are the two. So I love the long-term fit there. I love that you can play him, you know, 2 through 4 on that team, and they can cover up some of his weaknesses by having some other shooters on the roster like Gordon Hayward. And I think that if you're counting on him to be your energy guy off the bench who can come in as a situational perimeter stopper, I think that that's a great long-term fit. I don't think that you want him to necessarily – you don't want to count on him as being one of your core offensive players, obviously. But with a team that wants to run, with a team that wants to be long, athletic, quick, I think that he would be a terrific long-term fit. So I'm going with the slight reach there in taking Rondé over Trey Lyles.
It is a reach. They could trade down, but it's the best fit on the board. I love the pick.
It's a great pick.
I love the identity that he would bring them because it is a team of quiet dudes.
Yeah,
and I feel like Rondé would kind of be a catalyst. He's not necessarily the most. You know, we saw him here in Arizona a bunch. I mean, he is a vocal leader. Mm-hmm. He is a demonstrative, infectious energy guy. He plays his butt off. People feed on him. And if he comes in as a guy that's just relied on to do the things he does and not worry about the things he doesn't do for a team that could probably win 45 games next year, I love it. The thing that you won't, that Quinn Snyder might balk at is he already doesn't have the shooting he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rondé doesn't address the concern that Quinn Snyder would have in terms of bringing on another three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
If they went for a wing, I could see Quinn Snyder trying to talk them into, if Devin Booker was available, I could see them trying to make the Kelly Oubre thing happen.
Yeah.
I could see them trying to go for maybe even a Sam Decker,
mm-hmm.
just somebody that can stretch the floor out a little bit more than Rondé can.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all, Sam Decker in that slot.
But 12's too high, but when you like your guy, you take your guy.
Right. You know, that's one thing I've always thought about the draft is that at the end of the day, the draft slot doesn't matter the day after the draft.
That's right.
You know, what matters is did you get the guy that's going to be able to contribute long term? And, you know, if there's no one else on the board who you think is a better long term fit for what you're doing and there's not the trade out there that's going to allow you to be able to get meaningful value back, I don't think it's worth getting cute and assuming that you're going to be able to find what you need or passing up on the guy that you want just because, you know, there's two guys left on the board who are in a, you know, different tier or something like that if they're not the fit. So in any event, we're going to go for the slight reach there. But
well, and I want to point out, I wonder if a shimmy like that is legal in Utah. That's my only question
you can do 3.2 shimmies.
Okay.
I'm the Boston Celtics. I have the 16th pick. I have the 28th pick. I love Miles Turner. He slid to 12. Danny Ainge could totally love Miles Turner.
No, Miles Turner went at 11, I thought.
Let's say in a hypothetical scenario.
Oh, got it, yeah.
I call you with the 16 and 28. I want to get to 12. I love my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Utah trades down. They take Rondé at 16. That's a scenario that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't think that there's anybody at 12 that they couldn't get at 16 that they necessarily would have to fall in love with just because of how solid their core is.
And the tier that we're in right now, I think, in general, I mean, most of the guys that we're going to be talking about, they really could go anywhere between 10 and 20.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's just about the guy you like.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 13. I'm the Phoenix Suns. I don't even know who's on my roster anymore. I was a little active at the trade deadline, and so I am now in a position where I have to pay Brandon Knight. I have no choice. I have to give Brandon Knight all the money. I have Eric Bledsoe. I already gave him all the money. I have the Morris twins. They've gotten paid. Alex Len looks like the real deal-ish. I kind of like Alex Len. I actually really like what I saw from him last year. I look at my roster, and I'm not crazy about what I have at the three. I'm also, I don't, I'm not ruling out Cameron Payne here, just because it seems like he's crazy for these point guards, and they just always want to keep two on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Cameron Payne pick is something that would not surprise me from what the Suns have philosophically thought to do.
And he's probably the best player on the board right now.
It's a good value. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not making the Cameron Payne pick. I think I go Kelly Oubre because I think the upside is here for a guy that could be the best player of this tier. Mm-hmm. There are certain coaches in college basketball that don't necessarily trust younger guys, that don't necessarily put them in positions to show everything they can do. I don't think anybody thought we would see this much out of Andrew Wiggins as a rookie, but that's because Bill Self doesn't necessarily put these younger, fresh... He's not John Calipari. Mm-hmm. He's not here to illuminate your draft stock for you.
Right.
He's here to win games today and do what's best for Bill Self. Kelly Oubre, out of all the top 10 prospects coming in last year, he struggled the most. He did not have the season that he probably should have had on talent. He struggled in a lot of ways, and he struggled in ways that were a surprise given the way that he had played his entire high school career. I think what I see when I see Kelly Oubre is a prototypical, really long, really athletic wing player who can develop into something for Jeff Hornacek. I think Jeff Hornacek's a really good coach that gets a lot out of guys. I think Oubre is probably the most talented guy here. If they don't go Cameron Payne, I would like to see them go Kelly Oubre. So that's the pick I'm making if I'm Phoenix, because I don't know what my direction is. I can wait on a kid like Kelly Oubre to become something. I don't know. What do you think?
It makes sense. I think it makes sense.
I'm not psyched about it, if you can tell.
Well, I think, though, that you're in a situation where the Suns are looking for an all-star.
Yeah.
You know, that right now they've got guys who, even on their best day, they're fringe star players. You know, your Eric Bledsoe, your Brandon Knights of the world. Those are guys who, you know, they're definitely good NBA starters.
Good complimentary players.
Yeah. But I don't think that you can realistically expect that either of those guys is turning into a perennial all-star. They're that next tier down. So you'd roll the dice on someone like Oubre. If he turns into the player that he could be on his best day,
yeah,
then you know you've got a two-way player.
There is a Paul George level upside here.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's where I'm going. We're now with 14, the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've been talking about a lot of teams that have playoff aspirations. This one has championship aspirations. They have to win, and they have to go deep in the playoffs with
right
a
now.
Brand new coach and impending free agency for one Kevin Durant. So there's a lot in the air. There's a lot riding on this pick. This isn't a situation where they can just kind of draft and stash and wait. No, they got to get a guy. They got to get a real guy for this rotation right now. Who's that guy, Rusty?
Okay, so this is one that I've looked at a few different ways. It really is coming down to we're looking for I liked Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in part, but they've got a glut there.
Yeah.
He's gone.
They took
now.
Andre Roberson to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not going to happen. They really need the backup point guard to Westbrook.
Yeah,
that's
with the Reggie Jackson deal, they need a real backup point guard.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And somebody who brings a little excitement and who can play right away, and it's Cameron Payne. When you were thinking about drafting him, my heart skipped a beat.
Yeah.
Because that's the only pick that makes sense to me for Oklahoma City right here.
It's really good.
It's a really great pick. It's a really great guy to have off your bench. I mean, right? You're picking 14 and you get this guy, Cameron Payne.
And it doesn't look like Cameron.
Championship contender.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy like Reggie Jackson that's going to like sink it with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That was a big thing with Reggie Jackson. He didn't think he should be backing up Russell Westbrook. But are you kidding? What are you talking about? So he really did submarine a lot of things with his attitude. And there's another guy with an attitude, and Deion Waiters on this roster too. So you can't really you can't be adding to a problematic element.
Yep,
and Cameron
right.
Payne is not that kind of kid.
Mm-hmm. No, he's exciting. He's going to work hard.
High character player.
Oklahoma City is going to make a lot of sense for him too.
Yeah.
I mean,
small school guy.
Yeah,
going
small school guy going to a small town or. You know, not New York, not Los Angeles.
No, it's a small town. That's probably the smallest community in terms of marquee NBA franchises.
That's right. It is.
It makes all the sense.
It's the only pick that makes any sense at this point.
Now, is it going to result in a championship? This pick does not determine whether or not they win the title.
No.
Let's talk for like 2 minutes about Oklahoma City because there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
they let go of their coach, who the whole team loved, mm-hmm. that maybe wasn't an X's and O's guy on the championship level. They're bringing in Billy Donovan for all the money, and this guy has not... He's not been involved in NBA basketball on any level outside of the 6 weeks he technically sort of kind of coached the Orlando Magic before mm-hmm. quitting and going back to Florida. He does a nice job with Florida. He's always done a nice job with Florida. He's done a nice job with that USA Select team until Sean Miller's the coach of that now. But mm-hmm. what do we think? I mean, this is a weird situation. We've got Kevin Durant on his walk year. Yeah. That's a bad pun because I don't know if he can walk.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things happening here. So they're going to have to adjust to this new coach, this whole new way of doing things. Monty Williams coming in as the associate head coach. And this situation where I'm not sure what because the expectation is that they are winning the championship.
Mm-hmm.
What is the future for this franchise?
Well, I think that the obvious comparison that people are latching onto right now is they're looking at what Golden State did and getting rid of Mark Jackson, who, though he had a very strained relation with the front office, he had a very good relationship with a lot of the players.
Except for Festus Ezeli.
That's true.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a good story.
A weird tidbit. I don't know if you read that, Rusty.
I did not.
He was telling other guys on the team that Festus Ezeli, who was out for the season with a torn up knee,
yeah.
that Festus was rooting against them so he could look like the missing piece.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he made him cry.
Because the whole team confronted him.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
No, I hadn't heard that at all.
He barred Jerry West from practice.
Yeah.
He was a nightmare.
Yeah. No, that was a very bad situation.
Scotty Brooks hasn't done anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
But, you know, in terms of the comparison, just from the perspective of your star players, you know, they all really liked and respected yeah. Mark Jackson as a person. He had been successful relative to their
yes.
previous expectations.
A to B.
Yeah, exactly. And so there was certainly some risk involved. Now, the difference, though, even though Steve Kerr is a rookie head coach, Steve Kerr has been involved in the NBA in a very direct and hands-on way for basically the last two decades.
Mm-hmm. On championship teams.
On championship teams. You know, he has basically, you could not draw up a better coaching lineage than what he has worked with. And he's been involved in every single aspect of an organization. He's watched the game from every possible perspective.
And that lead analyst spot is an underrated thing for a potential coach.
It's true. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to know the league inside and out, and at least, especially amongst the, because he was, you know, doing most of the top tier games, mm-hmm. you have to know those top tier teams inside and out as well. You're watching almost as much film as a coach would, you know, as you're prepping for
You're doing the same
those.
Kind of scouting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I agree that, you know, people poo-poo that as if like, oh, he's just, you know, doing TV work. But that's real work. And yeah. especially...
That's better than staying out of the game entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. So in any event, I don't think that it's really as close as people would like it to be in terms of that comparison. But I honestly don't really think it matters all that much who coaches that team. I think that if you have...
If they just introduce a little creativity offensively
yeah.
with the best players in the world and they stay healthy.
Yeah. But you know what? And even then, we saw in the past, even with Scotty Brooks, they were so close in the past. They've had bad breaks, they've had injury
yes.
breaks.
Yes.
But they're, you know, over each of the last three seasons, there's a sequence of events in which they become the NBA champion, even with, you know, Scotty Brooks at the helm. So
yeah.
I think that Billy Donovan is going to get credited with their success or their failure this year. But at the end of the day, if those guys are healthy and they catch breaks in the West the way that any team in the West has
yep.
to catch breaks, there's mm-hmm. no reason to doubt that they can be a championship team.
Because you
year.
Look at how they match up with Golden State, because that's mm-hmm. ultimately what it comes down to. That
sure.
The road
right.
goes through Golden State. Steph Curry, he missed all the elite guys at the point guard spot in a very fortuitous way. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Man, Russell Westbrook is going to take that series personally. Mm. He's going to come right at him in ways that Steph Curry has never been come at for a 7-game series. And,
yeah,
you know,
we
all love Draymond. You know, Draymond defends his butt off. But, man, Kevin Durant is a whole other type of player. What's Draymond going to do with 6'11", 25-foot range? Nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing. So, okay, that's our little Oklahoma City sidebar on the Cameron Payne pick. We come to the end of our NBA mock draft extravaganza. The 15th pick belongs to the Atlanta Hawks. and the number one seed Atlanta Hawks through a very fortunate trade with the New Jersey Nets, where this is a pick swap.
And, you know, it's crazy to imagine that the Hawks were in a position where they were able to actually get assets from the Nets when they moved that Joe Johnson contract.
They just kept asking for things, and the Nets just kept giving them things.
Yeah, but here we are. Sitting at number 15. And
a 60-win team about to add a real guy.
Yeah, a real guy. And, you know, the Hawks, even though the Hawks had a very deep team throughout the regular season, I do think that the playoffs exposed that there are some areas of weakness. And they've got some notable free agents as well that they have to be concerned about.
Yeah, because Carroll and Millsap, they're not guaranteed to come back, especially Damari Carroll.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a guy who's never gotten paid before. So I don't think anyone can begrudge him for trying to take the biggest contract out
there.
Who
writes the highest number down on the piece of paper? Give it to me.
And especially after the scare that he had in the playoffs.
100%. If he didn't hurt his knee, I think there's a pretty good chance he comes back to Atlanta. But right now, it's best offer.
Yeah, and you know what? And the Hawks, they may be in a position just because of where they are cap-wise, where it makes sense for them to match, you know, whatever the Knicks put on the table. And
totally.
And so I think that he very well could be back there.
But we also got new guys calling the shots here.
That's true. We've got Coach Bud now, who's in the captain's chair.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, especially when you're trying to think about their future with Millsap and if he comes back or not, even with him back, one thing that you saw was that I don't feel great about my bigs off the bench.
They had a rough time coming in, circling in, and especially because Horford tends to miss games.
Yeah.
Millsap, you know, he's a great ball player, but, you know, there are limitations.
Yeah.
So being able to rotate another legit big makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I think here I'm going with Trey Lyles, who's a guy who almost certainly will go somewhere in the lottery.
Yeah.
So I think the value is there. But I think that that he fits in well with what they do. And we talked about earlier that I think there's a little bit of a potential Millsap comparison as well, and you had mentioned him, you know, having to play the three a little bit in college the way that Millsap had to do at the Jazz. I think that he could slot in as a good understudy there, and you don't have to expect much from him on this Hawks team. He doesn't have to come in and play 30 minutes a game and give you 15 points. If he can give you 15 minutes of, you know, the kind of B-minus version of Paul Millsap this year, and then you can project him going forward so that he's on the same development path where when Paul Millsap is moving on from whatever contract he's signing in this round, he can slot in as that type of player going forward. And, you know, in terms of the catch-and-shoot stats that you pointed out, I hadn't seen the stats, and that is very interesting because especially, you know, when you said his reputation, obviously his value is projecting as this, you know, stretch four type player. The one thing I will say is that obviously when you're dealing with one college season, you're dealing with a tiny, tiny sample size, especially for someone like Trey Lyles, who's not playing huge minutes either.
And he wasn't playing in a very comfortable position on a team that could really space the floor in any adequate way.
Yep.
It seems situational. I don't think his stroke is broken. I think he's got a nice-looking shot.
Yeah. So I view him in the same way I view R.J. Hunter, where, you know, you look at R.J. Hunter and you say, well, gosh, he's supposed to be one of the best shooters in the draft. He only shot, you know, around the 30% or so from the three last year. But you watch him shoot, you see his free throws.
That looks like a shooter.
He's a shooter, there's no question. And he shot, you know, he had two defenders draped over him shooting from 30 feet away from the basket. You know,
he had to Steph Curry, and he's not Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But he's still a pretty good ball player.
He might be Kevin Martin, though.
Sure.
You know, he's going to be an NBA-level shooter. Anyway, so I think Trey Lyles, I like how he slots in with what our needs are in the short term, and I think he can be a long-term piece as they move on from Paul Millsap in a few years.
It's a tremendous value pick because at 15, you want to get a guy that can maybe chip in a little bit but then project to be a real player for you in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And if there's a team that can figure out why he didn't hit open shots, it's the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And there's a shot doctor and Coach Bud that can really figure out how to put him in positions to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
if Lyles is off the board, that feels like a Bobby Portis spot to me.
Yep.
That feels like a spot where even Kaminsky makes sense a little bit,
yep,
just being part of, just being a little bit bigger, mm-hmm, and having a little bit more heft to guard,
yep,
big bruising fives and, yep, take a little bit of that pressure off of Horford. There's a lot of interesting ways they can go. And we've got a lot of interesting prospects still on the board. I mean, I like Justin Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up R.J. Hunter.
Sam Decker still on the board.
Yeah, there's going to be play. I think this is about a 20 to 25 deep in terms of contributors.
Mm-hmm.
DeLon Wright, obviously.
Yeah, I like DeLon Wright. I like a lot of guys. I think that there's going to be value here, but we're not going to be able to talk about it this week because we have run out of time. Even though we can kind of decide how much time, we're in an unair-conditioned room, ladies and gentlemen.
It's really hot.
So I think that our sweat glands have decided we've run out of time. But
yeah,
before we
right,
call it a week, let's see. What do we have coming up on the current this week, Rusty?
On the current this week, it's the end of June, if you can believe it.
What?
I know. Surprise. Caught up to me very quickly. And so it's Jeff Yance from The Loft.
Cool.
But I'm really excited, too, because on the 3rd of July, it will be the one and only Bob Log.
Oh, boy.
So
that's awesome.
Two really,
oh wow,
great reeks in a row,
okay.
I feel like.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bob Log's an all-timer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Locals only. Matt Milner, what do you got?
Honestly, I don't even remember. My brain is so melted right now. I've been in three states and three sovereign nations. I started the day in Colorado and drove down here in time for the show. So my brain is still back in Colorado, but I think we might have some hip hop coming on Locals Only this week. But it'll be good. Whatever we have coming on, I'll have to
listen
check the
calendar anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, by the time you listen to this, Locals Only will have already aired probably. So just go check out the podcast, kxci.org, find the Locals Only page, listen to the podcast, the
lots of
live
them,
performance. Yeah.
In fact.
Yep.
And the only thing I'm going to plug this week is something related to what we've been talking about. My buddy Aaron Smith at NBADraft.net is going to have me recapping picks live. I do this every year. It's ridiculous. We start right when the draft goes. Me and some dude I've never met before alternate picks, and we do instant reactions. And we always have to change it midway because trades happen. It's just chaos for four straight hours. I order a pizza and Kelly clears the room and I just do draft.
That's great.
And so you go to NBADraft.net if you want to see what I think of the draft in real time. All 60 picks as it's,
wow,
happening.
I'll be there.
And I don't know if in years past Fox Sports used to run it as well. I don't know if we still do that. But you know what? Go to NBADraft.net. You don't have to give the big sites your hits.
Yeah.
Come to the mom and pop shop. We need you. So that's what we're going to be doing this week. And thank you again for listening to Can't Wait. And we will keep doing this until someone tells us not to.